Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
There we go. Happy New Year, everybody. So glad. How many of you enjoyed the Christmas show this year? Wasn't it a blessing? Thank you for opening your heart and bringing folks with you. Over 1,500 people gave their lives to Christ. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that the way to celebrate Christmas, huh? Thanks so much. We're starting a new series today called All People. And God has so just burned some things in my heart that we're going to take these next several weeks and I want to share with you. But I want to start this morning by just talking to you, where'd that come from, All People? If you've heard me say it again and again, and you'll hear me say it again and again, this church exists to help all people. Say it out loud, all people. All people. We want all people to realize the unconditional love of God. We want all people. We want all. That means no one's excluded from God's circle of love. And so we want you to understand through this series is that everything that is available in God is available for everybody. There's no one excluded. Now, we don't want you just to stop knowing God loves you. We want you to understand that as we enter into this new year, the four things you hear us say over and over again are not just words. They are the will of God for your life. He wants you to not just know that he loves you. He wants you to experience that love and come to know God. An intimate relationship with God, not a religion, but an intimacy with God that produces life. And once you come to know God, he doesn't leave you there. He wants you to find freedom. We'll be launching our small groups at the end of the month. And in this context, it's where you find freedom. It's where you can meet and take off the mask and dig into your life and let people love you and care for you. And you can serve other people and learn and grow together. And it's so important because if you don't find freedom, your yesterdays will dominate your tomorrows forever. And it's not just enough to get free for you. You've got to discover your purpose. And when you discover purpose, you find out why you're on the earth. And I'm telling you, there is nothing on this planet like living within the framework of why you were designed and how you were designed. And that's why this weekend, actually, the Our Church Experience begins again, which will help you discover purpose. Then lastly, to make an impact with your life. Jesus called you the salt of the world, the light of the earth, the light of the world. You were made to matter more than just solving your problems, more than getting through your issues. You were meant to live a transcendent life. And I'm praying that this year, 2019, will be the greatest spiritual year of your life. Can I tell you this, that if it's the greatest spiritual year of your life, it will be the greatest year of your life. And that's my prayer for every one of us today. I want to talk to you about the first thing about the issue of all people is this. Jesus came for all people. Even though he came within the context of the Jewish family, if you will, when the angel appeared to the shepherds in the field, he proclaimed at the very birth of Christ why he came. Let me read it to you as we just come out of the Christmas season. Luke 2, verse 7, and she, Mary, brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. How many of you know that might mess up your dark evening in the woods, huh? And the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, now listen, I bring you good news. Say it out loud, good news. I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. If what you're hearing about God is not bringing you an understanding of good news coupled with great joy and about the life, the ministry, and the desire of a Savior toward you, you're not hearing the gospel. You're hearing maybe pieces of it. But he said he didn't just come for the Jewish family. He didn't just come for any group or any sect of people or any race of people. Jesus came for all human beings. Now listen, why is that important? Because if we're not careful, we can exclude people out of the circle of love that God has included everybody in. God's unconditional love is toward all people. Jesus died for all people. You can get up in the morning and hate God from the moment you learn to speak to the moment you die. You can curse him with every foul word you can imagine in your vocabulary and do it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from the moment you can speak to the moment you die, and it will not change that much how desperately God loves you. The love of God is totally unconditional. But here's the second point. God's love must be received. It's not automatic that the workings of his love come into my life. God forces himself upon no one. Now, this is a very important distinction. You'll hear this said all the time, and I know what people mean by it, but we need to be clear. You'll hear people say this, we're all God's children. No, we're not. We are all God's creation. We are all desperately loved by God, but we are not all God's children. You have to be born into the kingdom of God to become a child of God. In the Gospel of John, listen how clearly it's defined. In John 1, verse 10, Jesus came into the very world he created. Imagine that. The God of the universe becoming part of his creation to redeem them. Jesus came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all, everyone say to all. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave them the right to become the children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. Until somebody receives Christ into their life, his sacrifice will benefit them not at all. God's love is unconditional. But that love has to be received. And the scripture says, to as many as receive him, to those people, the ones who choose to bow their knee to the lordship of Jesus and receive that Savior into their life, he said they will be born of God. They will have the right to become a child of God. Do you understand when you gave your life to Jesus, you ceased to simply be someone trying to serve God, and you became a son and a daughter of the living God, born of the passion and the plan of God, not the passion and plan of a human being. And what John was writing in the gospel, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he said there were people that were born because two people had sexual passion together and a child was formed. There were some that they planned and they wanted to have children. He said, your birth in the kingdom was not through human passion or human plan, but it was through God's passion for you and God's plan for you. But the love of God has to be received. It's available to all people. And here's the third part. God's love is unconditional, but God's grace, his favor, and blessings are not. Just because God wills something to happen doesn't mean it happens. You'll hear people say that all the time. Well, you know, everything that happens is God's will. No, it isn't. God's will is not done on the earth. Jesus, in fact, told us to pray. Pray that the will of the Father would be done on earth as it is in heaven, because it doesn't happen automatically. There is something that you must do to yield to the love of God. Even though that love is of God for us, you cannot earn it. You cannot send it away. You can't even enhance it. But the blessings of God and the favor of God and the grace of God. Now remember this about God's grace. It is God's ability in you working in human flesh. The very ability of God is available to you. And I want you to see that even though God's grace cannot be earned, it is not without condition. The favor, the blessings of God are not without conditions. And my hope is that as we enter this new year, that you'll step into, my hope today is to give you a Bible understanding of how to step into what Jesus died to provide for you. And this is available for every person on the planet. It doesn't matter if you're here and you've been a Christian for 30 years, or maybe you're here today and you have no idea what's going on. You say, man, you guys are kind of crazy here. You worship Jesus. There's lights. What's wrong with you people? You guys act like God's alive. I don't care if you've rejected God your whole life. His love is unconditional for you. But he has a plan for you. And he has favor and blessing and grace to pour into your life. That's why starting tomorrow, we're as a church, every January and every August we do this, we're going to be having 21 days of fasting and prayer. And I want to just take a few minutes and explain that to you and bring you into the inside of why that makes a difference. And how for every human being, I don't care how intensely you've walked with God or how shallow perhaps your walk with God has been. This is not for those who are spiritual, you know, college students. This is for those who are babies, if you will. Because fasting and prayer, we're going to start it. It's a 21-day fast. It begins tomorrow. Every morning here at the church, 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., we'll be having a prayer meeting here. It will be available live, streamed online through our website, and it will be available all day long for 24 hours, so you can actually, in your own private time, either join us at 6 a.m. at your home or anytime during your day when you can, get that hour away and just follow along right with us and learn how to have a time of prayer every morning. And then every Saturday morning, from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock, throughout the 21 days, we'll be having prayer. And then from now on, every Saturday morning, here at the church, there'll be prayer at 9 to 10. And so I'm going to be leading prayer tomorrow morning. I'll be leading all the Saturday prayers throughout the prayer meetings throughout this 21 days. But I want to encourage every one of you to step into this. Every one of you can do this. I want to help you to understand the why behind it today. Why all that God has for you, it's available for every one of us. And I'm telling you, there's something that happens. And we're going to look into the scripture, and we're going to find out what that is. You can go to our website and get a 21-day devotional that we've written to go along with each day. There's also a prayer guide you can download. We want to help you to step into the purpose and the plan of God for your life. Not just the theory of God, but walk with God. There was a time when Jesus, his disciples tried to deliver a person who was demonized. And I want you to see what happened when they couldn't help the child and what Jesus said about it. In Matthew 17, verse 14, the scripture says this. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. And Jesus said, unbelieving and perverse generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private, and they asked, why couldn't we drive it out? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. What's that mean? This is a child that today would have, this is a child that had seizures. This wasn't just a child who would have seizures. This is a child that was demonized. So that when it would go near the water, the demon would tear the child and the child would try to drown himself. When it would be near fires, and there were fires everywhere in that culture, people were always either cooking or warming themselves. The child, that demon would tear the child and the child would dive into the fire. Can you imagine what it felt like to be that parent? And he brought the child to Jesus' disciples, and one by one, they tried to pray for the child and nothing happened. And the father finally, he said, Jesus, your disciples couldn't do this. Can you help me? And Jesus gave the reason why they could not help him. He said there were two things. He said, because they were unbelieving, and this is a perverse generation. And I want to show you how prayer and fasting are the cure to those two things. Unbelieving is when you're disconnected from God. It's when what's around you governs your life more than what God says about you. When what you've experienced, excuse me, or what you've done wrong defines who you are instead of a savior. Unbelief is when I've disconnected from who God is. And there's a cure to that. And that cure, Jesus said, is prayer. It's having a devotional life where you get into the presence of God. You get into the Word of God on a daily basis. And you'll begin to have an intimacy with God. And we're going to do that for 21 days. And now this part you want to do every day for the rest of your life. And we want to teach you how to literally have the cure. Here's the issue. Jesus said there was something God wanted to get over to this boy that others couldn't get to the boy because they were disconnected from God. And this is the question that plagues me as a pastor, as a leader, and as just a person. What is it that God is wanting to say to me? What is it that God's wanting to do through me? What is it that God's wanting to do to me or for me that I'm not receiving? I don't want to go to heaven and find out I missed out on the life that I was called to live, on the blessing and the favor of God that was available to me in this life. And yet so many people live and die, and they never step into the favor and blessings of God. And prayer and fasting is a time where you pull yourself away and you connect to God. The second thing Jesus said was it was a perverse generation. Perverse is where we get our word pervert. And in the Greek, it's very simply to be morally corrupted. And when you study the word out, it means this: adopting a crooked path as if it were the straight path. I don't know anything that defines the culture we live in today more than that. We live in a world where the crooked path has been adopted as the straight path. And the straight path is called crooked. And say, what is a straight path? The one God says is straight. Yeah, but I disagree. You won't for long. You know, I tell you, no one's changing my mind. Death will change your mind. When you leave this body, and this is just, you know, this is temporary, right? How many of y'all know this doesn't last forever? How many of you found out it changes as it gets older? It doesn't move like it used to. How many of you were used to play sports and then you said, I lost a step? And then you lost like 50 steps. This body's temporary. And when you leave this body, all your views and the nonsense of this world and the corruption and the perverseness of a generation will leave with you. And you will see God as he is. And that is not the time to figure this out. But Jesus said there's a cure to the perverseness of a generation, and it's fasting. Why? Because fasting is disconnecting from the world. Prayer is connecting to God. Fasting is disconnecting from the world. The scripture says in 1 John that the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, they only come from the world and not from the Father. The scripture tells us over and over again, this world system around us is trying to be your refuge. It's trying to be what you put your trust in. It's trying to define what you do, what you believe, how you live, what you choose. And he said, but when you fast, you're separating yourself from the world. Now, let me make it very practical for you when you fast. There are a variety of things that you can do. Let me explain to you what I'm doing. You do not have to do this. There's no right, there's no wrong. Fasting is about disconnecting from the world. Now, not everything in the world is wrong, but it gives you the opportunity to actually realize that there are influences that govern your life every day and you're not even aware of it. One of the things that I'm gonna fast for 21 days is total social media. And that by itself could be almost impossible for some people. But it's that constant input into your life. So for 21 days, other than what I need to do for the church stuff, I'll fast social media. I'll fast television and Netflix and flicks of nets and everything. If something happens, I'll catch maybe what's happening on the news or something. But for the most part, I'll set aside that time, and that extra time, I'll listen to podcasts, or I'll read the scripture, or I'll read books. And then I'm going to fast a certain amount of food. Now, what I've chosen to do is morning and evening, I'll juice, and in my lunch, I'll eat a lunch. And you say, well, do I have to juice? Do I look like I juice all the time? Here's all fasting is. It's going to teach you that your body has a voice and that you can tell it to shut up. You go ahead and tell your body not to eat certain things for 21 days and to restrict it. It will scream. In fact, I promise you, someone in your neighborhood, it'll be 2 below, and they will go outside and barbecue so you can smell it. You're going to find out very quickly your body has a voice. 21 days of fasting tells you and shows you can quiet that voice. Do you realize that most people govern their lives by the voice of their body, which is feelings? The voice of the body is feeling, the voice of the mind is reason, and the voice of your inward man is conscience born of God. And most of us can be, all of us, this is for everybody. It's so easy to get caught up. And Jesus said, this kind will not go out unless, in other words, you're not going to receive the fullness of what I want to do in your life unless you connect to me and disconnect from the world. It's so critically important. It's so critically important. In James chapter 4, I'm going to read you a portion of scripture that's very easily misunderstood. But stick with me, because I believe if you see this, you're going to see a passion from God. In fact, next week, I'm going to talk to you about how physical obedience actually releases spiritual power. Early in the month of December, I was meeting with one of our board members, a pastor up in the Michigan area, Jerry Weinzero, and we spent a couple days together and we were praying together. And we began to talk about the ministry of angels to the believers. And that has been so strongly on my heart. I want you to see next week how physical obedience releases spiritual power, even angelic host of ministry to your life. And I'm not talking about some weird fantasy life. I'm telling you there are angels that are real and they are called to minister for the heirs of salvation. And there are things you do that will empower them and things you do that will stop them. Physical obedience brings the power of God. Fasting is a type of physical obedience. And Jesus actually commanded us to do it. In James chapter 4, though, he says something that if you don't understand it, it could come across like, wow, this is pretty harsh. James 4, verse 4. James is a pastor, and he wrote these words. He said, and he's writing to Christians, by the way, you adulterous people. He's not talking about people cheating on their spouses. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred or opposition toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Do you think the scripture says without reason that the spirit he caused to live in us envies intensely? Jesus, the scripture is saying simply this. Do you understand that when you gave your life to Christ, you became the bride of Christ? Do you know how much he paid to bring you into relationship with him? That you literally in scripture are called the bride of Christ? And he said, when you go to the world to gain your intimacy, your resources, your decisions, the way you think about whatever, instead of from him, he said he desires, it's actually the word is jealous. He's jealous toward you. And he's comparing it to a husband or a wife cheating on their spouse. And God forbid that's ever happened to you. If it has, you know how desperately that wounds you. And if your spouse cheats on you, this horrible brokenness happens inside you. And that's what I'm going to talk to you about the third week. When you, in early December, the Spirit of God showed me something. It's changed every day since for me. When I began to see the intimacy and the impact of my life to God's heart. It's an amazing thing to understand. But like a husband coming to his wife and or she finds out that he's had an affair or has had multiple affairs, she is intensely jealous. She's brokenhearted. And can you imagine if somebody were to come up to their spouse, a guy goes up to his wife and say, baby, listen, you know, I'm just having sex with two or three other women, but, you know, it kind of meets my needs. How many of you think that's going to go over really well in the house? How many of you know the next phone call is going to be 911? Why? Because, and then you call the police because someone killed somebody. See, fasting, think of it this way. It's like a marriage retreat. It's like you separating yourself from all the other influences. And by the way, we're going to be, hey, Jimmy Evans is coming to Victory Family Church. Woo, man, that's going to be fun. I don't know if you say, I don't know who Jimmy Evans is. You YouTube Jimmy Evans, listen to everything he says. You will thank God you came today because it will help your marriage. Jimmy Evans is a beast. Oh, you'll love it. But here's the deal. Greatest ministry, really marriage ministry in the nation. It's incredible. He's coming to Victory. It's going to be a blast. More details to come. But here's the thing. Fasting is like a marriage retreat. It's separating yourself to the one you love. Now in James, this fourth chapter, verse 6 through 10, he goes on to say this. And he's talking to people who are going to refuse to find that relationship outside of Christ. And he said, but he, God, gives more grace. Say out loud, more grace. That's why the scripture says, now listen, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Remember, I said God's love is unconditional, but his grace, favor, and blessing are not. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And now listen to what he said. You then submit yourselves then to God. You can then resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Come near to God, that's a choice, and he will come near to you. Now listen to this terminology. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve and mourn and wail. Change your laughter to mourning, your joy to gloom. Humble yourself before the Lord. He will lift you up. He's not saying walk around miserable. He's saying through your friendship with the world, you become double-minded. I say this and the world says this and you always are halting between two opinions. You're not making me the Lord of your life. It's the world around you. And he goes on and he says these, he said, wash your hands. He said, it can so easily dirty you. He said, when you leave me and you go into that relationship, it will make you dirty. It will cloud your heart. He said, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to grieve and mourn and wail. The laughter you've gotten from the world and its resources that have pulled you away from me, turn that laughter into mourning. Because if you will humble yourself under my mighty hand, I will lift you up. Do you see the outcome of this is not God telling you, live miserably and I want to beat you like a dog, if you beat dogs. But that's another subject for another day. I would never do that. Now, he's saying, I want to lift you up. I want to take you from where you are to where you desire to be, where I desire for you to be. You can do it on your own ability, or you can have the great exchange. You can do it on your own, and you can let the world try to figure it out and tell you your next steps and the way you should think and the way you should act and where you should put and where you should find pleasure. Or you can humble yourself under my mighty hand, and I will lift you up. You can exchange your ability for mine. You can exchange your laughter for mine. You can exchange your joy for mine. And what he's saying is that you want mine. It's better. And he made the promise to the person who humbles themselves. See, humility is the attraction and the multiplication of the grace of God. Pride is saying to the Father, it's not God pushing me away. He said, God resists the proud. Because God, he said, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. But if I tell God no, he doesn't override my will. Fasting and prayer. Listen, every one of us need to be doing this for 21 days at some measure. Every one of us. So I can't come in the mornings. Don't come in the mornings. Do it. Pray on your own. Go online. Do it with us. But do it for 21 days. Oh, I need to pray about whether I should pray. No, just do this. God will do things inside you in 21 days that can change your life forever. He said, I will lift you up. I will lift you up. I will lift you up. Let me close with this, and then we're going to worship God together. And by the way, I've cut my messages down to about 25 minutes, and nobody's complained, by the way. But because I want you to experience what the Holy Spirit wants to do in this room, and there's so much more that I know he wants to do. But I can tell you that I should not be, Michelle and I should not be the pastors of a church like this with its influence. You go into my office, you won't see any degrees on the wall. Not because I'm against them, I just don't have any. I went to a Bible school that was not accredited. And I've had people would say, well, you're really not qualified to do this. I agree with you. But here's what I found out about God. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. That's what he does in people's lives. And he'll do it for you. Listen, I was the one of my four, I have four brothers. I was the one they were going to have to support for the rest of their life. I'm not kidding. But in my early 20s, and Michelle did the same, I walked away from a life that I was so tainted and sin-stained and living such a messed up life. And I humbled myself before God. And Daniel, when he fasted for 21 days, he ate nothing pleasant for 21 days. Nothing that he said that he desired. And God came to Daniel by an angel and he said, Daniel, one greatly desired of me. You see, when you lay down what you desire for God and humble yourself, you become desirable to God. Do you understand the God of the universe desires you? And you can become so attractive to him. He said, I will lift you up. And I have watched God. I'm 58, and I've watched him work in my life by his grace and his kindness and his mercy. And I've watched him do things and help us in ways I can't even, I couldn't have made it up. Why would he do such a thing? Because when you humble yourself under his mighty hand, he said he will exalt you. Do you know what it feels like to have the hand of God lift you up? I long for, you haven't lived if that hasn't happened to you. I don't care how much money you have, how successful you think you are half dead while you live if the hand of God is not lifting you beyond your own resources, your own mind, your own ability. 21 days of fasting and prayer for all people, for every one of us can take you to a whole other place in God. And I want to just encourage you to join us. I want to pray over every one of you today. And I want us to, as an act of faith in all of our hearts. And I'm going to assume that every one of us, if you're in this room, you want God. So I didn't really want God, I just came. Well, I think you did, because you came. Would you stand together with me? I want us to pray together, just a time of consecration in the presence of God. I know the Holy Spirit, listen to me, please listen. This is the part of the service. If you were gonna sleep at any time or get disconnected, do it any time but now. Because everything you've heard up to now has been human beings communicating the best they can. Now God himself, by the power of the Holy Spirit, wants to do something for you. God himself, by the power and the work of the Holy Spirit. Right now in your life, right now, to take you somewhere you've never dreamed possible. To make a broken marriage come back together in 21 days. So I don't know if that's possible. All things are possible with him. But a wicked and a perverse generation will tell you it's not. Unbelief will tell you it's not. Let me tell you, as I said that, the Holy Spirit spoke just that strongly in my heart. You tell them it's not impossible with me. Where two people will humble themselves. God can, listen to me, I'm not talking to you now out of my head. I'm telling you by the Spirit of God, there are some of you sitting in here right now that if you don't yield to God, you won't be married at the end of this year. And the price that you will pay and the price that your children will pay. So I've already been divorced. That means, listen, come as you are here, man. We fight through life together. But if you've already been through it and if it could have been prevented, you'd go, man, listen. Your children, oh, what you can avoid. What the pain. He said, I'll lift you up. I will lift you up. He wants to do a miracle in your home, in your real life, not in some fantasy religious nonsense garbage you do for an hour and a half and play games with God. Every day, make your life different and make you know God intimately and find freedom. Let me pray over you, oh Father. I know by the Spirit of God that there are people in this room right now. All of us can have marriage issues. That's obvious. But there are people in this room right now that it's at the end. It's coming to a close. And you're trying to prevent heartache and lift them up beyond the impossibilities of how they feel. So Lord, I pray for those people right now. They can't choose for their partner. But I pray that if they're here together, that they'll hold hands right now as an act of faith and say, we're going to humble ourselves. We don't have to have answers. We just have to have God. And I thank you, Father, that today a divorce that would have happened will be canceled. A child that would go through devastation unnecessarily, they'll never know that pain. They'll only know the rescue of a Savior. I pray that over every person and family in this room. We humble ourselves under your mighty hand that you might exalt us in due time. Holy Spirit, move in this room. Now, as an act of surrender, would you lift your hands with me to God? The Bible says, lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. So I don't know what God, why do I have to do that? Because he's God and he said, do it. So humble yourself and do it. And say, I lift my hands to a holy God as an act of surrender. And Lord, we lift our hands in surrender to you. Lord, these next 21 days as we come together as a church, as we pray and as we fast, that we might get connected to you and disconnected from this world, so that truly our God who longs for us, who is jealous after us, who said, I want to lift you up. You're my bride. I want to take you places you've never dreamed of. I want to reduce and take away the generational sorrow that you carry. Oh my gosh, thank you, Jesus. When I said that, listen, the presence of God fell. Listen to me, listen. This is by the Spirit of God, listen. Generational sorrow does not have to abide with you forever. Listen to me. Generational sorrow does not have to abide with you forever. It's what you inherited from your family. And it's not your fault. And we're not blaming them. But you don't have to live with it. It doesn't have to define how you live, how you think. Living in a low-grade sorrow and a depression that no medication or counseling will ever fix, because it is spiritual. It is spiritual. And he wants to remove from you the sorrow that was gifted to you, or if you will, where it's inherited through the generational issues of your family. Listen to those words by the power of the Holy Spirit. Right now, the power of God fall on you in Jesus' name. Lord, let them know freedom for this moment right now, that your presence would fall. And you'd take in the first clean breath you've had and maybe your life and breathe in the freedom that he can provide. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for, and those stomach issues that came with it will stop. Listen to me. I'm talking to you by the power of the Holy Spirit, gifts and operations of the Spirit of God. And the stomach issues that came with it will stop. He wants to do so much in our life. Holy Spirit, we yield our hearts to you today. Move in this room. We now humble ourselves in your presence. We humble ourselves. And we consecrate and dedicate ourselves over these next 21 days to pray daily and to fellowship with you in your word and to fast, to, that we might through prayer connect with you and through fasting disconnect from this world. And we know that you will lift us up. Father, now we sing, we worship, our hearts are yours. We worship you. We worship you. We put you first in our year. We put you first in our week. Let this be a year when coming to church and being in your presence is not optional. That we don't look at you like you're some cafeteria, that we take a little of this and not that and give me a little. No, surrendering all to you. Not just we, but our children, our families. We put you first. We put you first. We humble ourselves. Put you first in every area, arena of life. We consecrate to that, Father. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Christ, I'm not asking you if you're religious or you've gone to church. That's fine if you have, but none of that makes you right with God. No church, including this one, can make you right with God. Jesus died for you. If you've never given your life to Christ or you're not sure, and you would say, Pastor John, please include me in a prayer. I want to invite Christ into my life. I want to receive eternal life. And thereby, as he said in his word, I have the right now to become his child. Your sin debt canceled. Listen, your sin debt canceled. A child of God made to live in freedom, made to live on purpose, made to make a difference, made to know God, made to be loved by the Father. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you'd say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. I will pray for you right where you're standing. The whole church will pray the prayer out loud and together with you right where you're standing. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, including those of you that are watching online, if you've never given your heart to Christ or you're not sure, you say, Pastor, I want to be included in that prayer. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Just simply raise your hand where I can see it, and I'm going to pray for you. Do it right now, and we'll pray. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. One last moment. You can see I'm not going to embarrass you or single anybody out. Humble yourself before God and open your heart to Him. Your life won't change on your own. He loves you. If you've never given your life to Christ, you're not sure. One last moment. Say, Pastor, please include me as well in that prayer. Lift your hand right where you're standing, and I'll pray for you as well. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Listen, if you raised your hand, or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it. We will pray it together with you. Jesus will come into your heart. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you by Jesus Christ, and I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart. I open the door of my life. And Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you now for making me your child. My sin is canceled. When I die, I am heaven bound. And I declare boldly that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Amen. God bless you. What a great decision you made. You can be seated.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.